Welcome to Crown of Life Baptist Church.
The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell. The guilty pair bowed down with care. God gave his son to win. His erring child he reconciled and pardoned from his sin. Could we with ink the ocean fill, and were the skies of parchment made, were every stalk on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade,
saints and angels storm.
Good morning, Central Indiana. You're listening to Pastor Greg DeZula of Crown of Life Baptist Church, currently meeting at the Cambria Hotel Noblesville. We invite you to join our Sunday morning service at 10 o'clock, preparing hearts to embrace God's word and desiring his coming kingdom. God is calling sinners to the cross, and he is calling believers to the crown. Enjoy today's program with Pastor Greg DeZula. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life.
This morning's message is a series of messages entitled The Intermediate State Between Death and the Rapture. This message is going to rock your world and rattle your preconceived notion of where the dead in Christ reside until the Lord's return. There is no shortage of false teachings about Christ and the Holy Bible in our current age of apostasy. The Apostle Paul, in his second letter to Timothy, urges him and every disciple to study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Can being ashamed at the judgment seat of Christ be a reality for the lazy studier? Apparently so. That means, well done, thou good and faithful servant, may not be the words they hear at the judgment, but instead, thou wicked and slothful servant. A sad indictment indeed. There is a truth you are going to learn in this series that requires an in-depth study of the authoritative Word of God, and it will change your understanding of where the dead are at this very moment. You then will discover how misguided we have all been by oversimplified exegesis of the Scriptures by lazy students of the Bible. This series will answer the question of where you, who love Christ will be upon your death and the death of all those who have gone before us. For example, slowly read and then note this simple thought Jesus leaves his disciples shortly before his crucifixion, burial, and resurrection in John 14, verse 2 and 3. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, and where I am, there ye may be also. Without any pretense, please notice that when he comes again, then will we who are in Christ be with him and no sooner. Enjoy this morning's message as we go digging for precious nuggets of scriptural understanding. This is part 7.
For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Yeah, we would all like to be present with the Lord, but the Lord's presence isn't going to be until he comes. That's the parousia. That's the Greek word. His presence, when he comes, he will be present. The parousia. And we are not, it's a misunderstanding to say, well, the minute we die, we're going to be present with the Lord. No. There's a time. When he comes back, that's when we will be present with the Lord. We will be in the bosom of Abraham. We will be in paradise in the center of the earth. Our soul will be there. Our decaying bodies will be in the grave. Wherefore, we labor that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. There's a key point. Labor. Oh, Pastor Greg, I thought that I'm saved by faith. It's the grace of God by faith and not by works that any man should boast. But it says, wherefore we labor that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. This is dealing with the kingdom, the judgment seat of Christ. This is after you're saved. Your walk. How is your walk with the Lord? For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. That everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. And so there's a presence that will take place when the Lord returns. I'll just read it to you. You have it in your notes a little further back, John chapter 5, verse 21. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God. All of us who die and get buried in the grave, all those who died and got buried in the grave for the last 2,000 years, and they that hear shall live. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in the which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice, and shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. That's talking about believers. That's the judgment seat of Christ. That's dealing with believers. The Lord is not going to tolerate his believers being evil and wicked. And it can happen. As we told you last week, somebody going back into the homosexual lifestyle after getting saved and being saved for a long time. So, we are now in Roman numeral 7, I believe this is where we left off. Man is a triune being, or a tripart being. I sometimes use the word tripart, sometimes triune. That means just like there's a Trinity, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Man has three parts. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray God, your whole spirit, soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Wow. Spirit, soul, and body. And I've talked to you about this in the past. You may have heard Pastor Dixon talking about this when he preached. Your spirit is saved initially when you believe and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And you accept Christ, you embrace him, you believe, you come by faith, repent of your sins. Your soul is being saved. Now, the spirit was saved by justification. Your soul is being saved. That means your daily walk with Christ, your sanctification, your living. Are you living for him? How is that soul? Are you cleansing? Paul says, I die daily. I crucify the flesh. It's the part of the walk, the sanctification. It's your from the day you got saved till the day your body enters the grave or the day you die is the sanctification process of your soul. And then the body. The body for every believer dies, right? Martyrs have died for Christ all through the ages. They've been crucified upside down like Christ. Or Peter being crucified upside down, thrown into rivers in a burlap sack and drowned, burned at the stake, filleted alive. All kinds of heinous things have taken place against believers. But their bodies die. But there's a future salvation that's glorification of the body. That body will come back to life. And that's amazing. It's just amazing that those saints that were burned at the stake, their bodies are going to come back to life. I mean, if God can speak the universe into existence out of nothing, what is it to speak a body that's been burned and the ashes have been spread upon the rivers of Europe and the lands of Europe? God will regather those and put that body back together. And so that's future. We know also from Hebrews chapter 4, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. The word of God, it is taking the word of God. We need to allow the word of God to pierce into our inner being, into the warp and woof of our being, into the recesses of our heart, and dividing the soul and the spirit and the flesh. And so we learn there, again, man is a triune being. Now, the spirit of the just man ascends to heaven, but the soul goes to the underworld or paradise or the bosom of Abraham. Notice what it says here in Acts chapter 7. This is talking about Stephen, the first martyr in the book of Acts. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God, and said, Behold, I see. Now notice Jesus is standing, not sitting, right? Isn't Jesus sitting on the right hand of the Father? But here he's standing because one of his saints, one of his children, is about to be stoned to death. And the first martyr of the Christian faith, Jesus standing on the right hand of God, and said, Behold, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he knelt down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. Did he fall asleep like I want to do when I get home? He died. Okay, remember, there's three types of sleep in the Bible here. The apostles fell asleep when Jesus was praying in the Garden of Gethsemane, the sleep that you get when your eyes are weary. Here, this is speaking of death. They sleep in Jesus. He fell asleep. So the Spirit ascends up to the heaven. personality in man attaches to the soul, not to the spirit. Man became a living soul. Turn your Bibles to Genesis 2:7. Bible says, the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground. So our bodies are from the dirt. And breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Now, where are we different? How are we different than the animal kingdom? How is man different than the animal kingdom? Sorry, evolutionists, you're not going to like this, but we have an eternal soul. We are made in the image of God, and we have an eternal soul. That living soul there means it's eternal. And the breath is the spirit. In the Greek, the word spirit is pneuma. Pneuma. It's where we get our English word that we use, pneumatic. Pneumatic. Pneumatic tools. You have any pneumatic tools on the job? Pneumatic tools. You have hydraulics tools, but there are pneumatics. It means air, power, spirit. That's where we get the word Holy Ghost. It's a spirit. It's a ghost. That 400 years ago, it wasn't some white thing floating around in the air, you know, with a sheet over its head, you know. It was a ghost, just meant a spirit. It was the Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost, pneuma. And so we have a spirit. Now, God breathed into our lives a breath of life. That's the spirit. But your personality is attached to your soul. Man became a living soul. It is therefore the spirit that returns at death to God who gave it. But the person, the soul, goes to paradise, the world of the dead in the lower parts of the earth. Thither our Lord and the thief went at death. Our Lord went to the center of the earth, the paradise in the center of the earth. And when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And we know that Jesus didn't go up to heaven. When he died, he went into the center of the earth. He was there 3 days and three nights. He didn't ascend up to heaven until after he was resurrected. Into thy hands I commend my spirit. And having said thus, he gave up the ghost. There it is, the word ghost, or his breath, or spirit. Now, you don't have these verses, but write down the reference, Ecclesiastes 12:7. Then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it. Did you hear that? Then shall the dust return to the earth as it was. So our bodies, when we die, returns back to the earth, right? Dust to dust. We go back to the earth, and we decay. And the body is rotting away in the grave. And it happens very quickly. And the spirit shall return unto God who gave it. Ecclesiastes 3:21. Who knoweth the spirit of man that goeth upward? And the spirit of the beast that goeth downward to the earth? So the animals don't have a living soul. They don't have an eternal soul. God didn't breathe into them the breath of life. Who knoweth the spirit of man that goeth upwards? So the spirit, when we die, goes upwards. Falsehood of dying today and going to heaven. If we die and go to heaven and are in the ultimate paradise, what a letdown it will be to descend from heaven and live on this earth for 1,000 years and then live for all eternity on a new earth. What a letdown. We would be with the Father and the Son. But there's no indication that we would be with the Father and the Son. The Son is only sitting at the right hand of the Father. Think about this: resurrection, rapture, baptism. Our baptism, picture of buried in the likeness of his death, raised in the likeness of his resurrection, raised, coming up. If the souls were in heaven, it defies the picture of rapture and the picture of baptism, because the souls would be coming back down with Jesus, continue on to the earth, get their glorified bodies, and then come back up to the cloud at the time of rapture. That would defy the scriptures. That would defy the whole concept of rapture, the whole concept of resurrection. Resurrection means rising up, soul and body, to meet the Lord in the clouds. Can you imagine what it'd be like in that third paradise? Paul couldn't even talk about it. It was unspeakable words. You know, there are things. Remember Moses on the Mount Sinai? He couldn't look at God. Elijah couldn't look at God when he was in the wilderness and fasting for 40 days. Why? He would have died. The splendor of the third heaven is beyond our capability. He can't even write the words and put them down. To say that Christ took all the dead in paradise to heaven is a misnomer. This is one of the major passages that those who support that idea that all the dead in Christ that were in paradise when Jesus was in paradise and were ascended up to the heavens, primarily they use this passage. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive. Well, what does that mean? Led captivity captive. We never learn that paradise is a captivity, that they're not captives. This whole passage is talking about, Ephesians 4 is talking about gifts given to men, and gave gifts unto men, okay, the spiritual gifts. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? So there's a passage right there that supports that Jesus was in the lower parts of the earth. He that ascended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. He ascended. Nobody else ascended. He ascended. It doesn't say anybody. When he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive. He just gave gifts to men, spiritual gifts, gave us the Holy Spirit to guide us and direct us in God's word, to utter the things of God on this earth. That is how we are, the captives on the earth are led out of captivities by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, when people get saved, do you lead them to the Lord? Is it really you that leads them to the Lord? You're just a witness. You're just a mouthpiece. It's the Holy Spirit that draws men to Christ. It's the Holy Spirit that draws men to Christ. Then he gives gifts. Some people have the gifts of speaking, of teaching. Some people have the gift of helps. Some people have the gifts of giving financially, more so than others. So the gifts, we're all given gifts. There was tongues at one time, the gifts of tongues, the gifts of healing in the early churches. There's a sense that there's still the gift of healing. You go and pray with somebody in the hospital, they're sick, and you pray that they get better. We pray that nobody else gets the flu in here and feels miserable. Pray that nobody gets the coronavirus. We pray for healing. I mean, Ellery and Matt and all the pastors through the ages, we went to the hospital to pray with people, to pray for their healing, pray for their wellness, pray that they would get better. D.M. Panton says this quote here, "The popular conception that our Lord, by leading captivity captive, emptied paradise and filled heaven with the redeemed dead is basing a pyramid on its apex, on a single phrase, which is manifestly too slender to bear so enormous a superstructure. He means you can't hang your hat on that little phrase, led captivity captive, to say that he emptied paradise and brought all the saints up to heaven when he ascended. And also we read earlier that David, when Peter quoted David and said, David's sepulcher is with us today and he's not ascended up into heaven, Jesus had already ascended into heaven. So if Jesus had already ascended into heaven, then he would have taken David and all the saints, Abraham and all the faithful believers up to that point, up to heaven. But no, Peter says, David is not in heaven. Jesus is sitting on the right hand of the Father. These were not glorified bodies, but resurrected like Lazarus. All the bodies, all the souls in the Bible, Old Testament, New Testament, who were resurrected out of the grave. You have Elijah who resurrected the Zarephath woman's body. You have Peter who laid on a body and brought it back to life because it fell from a high place, listening to him. Jesus resurrected Lazarus. They were not resurrected in glorified bodies. They were not resurrected in glorified bodies. They were resurrected in the same bodies you and I have here in this room, only to die again.
You've been listening to Pastor Greg DeZula of Crown of Life Baptist Church. Join us every Sunday morning here on Freedom 95 at 7:30 and Sunday service at 10 a.m. Currently meeting at the Cambria Hotel, 13500 Tegler Drive, Noblesville, where you will hear the hard-hitting truths found in the Word of God, unabashedly proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ and His coming kingdom from the inerrant and infallible King James Bible, the true voice of freedom. Please join us again next week, in person and right here on Freedom 95.